This is Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Ball Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and we want you to join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 888-729-3776. Also, we got the ESPN Twitter poll, the weekend preview poll, about which team needs a win the most in Week 14. Now, your options are the Browns, the Bills, the Rams, or other, and right now, it's the Buffalo Bills leading the charge with 38% of the vote, so we want to encourage you to go to ESPN Radio's Twitter account and chime in on that conversation, be a part of that. But right now, we're going to go out to the Dr. Pepper call-in line and bring on Barry in Ohio because he's got something to say about the Cowboys versus the Washington football team this weekend. Barry, what up, though?
What up, guys? You guys rock, man.
Appreciate it, man. What you got for us today?
I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, so I watch every Cowboys game. So obviously I'm a little bit biased, but this team has yet to click all year. It's whether the offensive line's banged up, why, you know, Cooper was out a couple games. Watch out this weekend with all them weapons back. I know the run game's banged up, but I'm expecting a blowout in this game.
So you right there with Mike McCarthy then. Like, not only are you guaranteeing the win, but you fully expect this to be a one-sided affair. That is interesting. TD, I don't know if I see it that way, especially with this line, man. And we know Vegas is never really wrong. Like, that's why they got all of those shiny buildings out in the desert. Like, this 4.5 line leads me to believe that this is going to be a lot closer than what we would expect from these two teams, especially when you look at the rosters on paper. But the Dallas Cowboys clearly have more, all three phases, both sides of the football. Like, they clearly have more talent than the Washington football team. But I can't ignore what Washington has done over the course of the last month. The last four games, they have dominated time of possession. There is no team that has held the ball longer than the Washington football team in the last 4 weeks. They hold the ball 37.5 minutes. 37.5 minutes. That's huge. So that's going to limit opposing offenses' opportunities to be able to score points. And I think that has to be a part of the mentality that they approach this game with, given how explosive the Dallas Cowboys offense has shown itself to be at certain times throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. And, you know, Antonio Gibson is a guy that I like watching. He just continues to – he's a former receiver at Memphis, but you see him progressing as a running back, and he's become a guy that you could pound the rock with. But the defense, though, you know, they're not the same defense that they were before, obviously, with Chase Young being out. So I don't know that I trust Washington as much. And I think the caller makes a good point, having all the weapons back. Obviously, we'll see what happens with Tony Pollard, whether or not he plays. But I think once you bring everything back together, this Cowboys team is a talented team. And at some point, that talent is going to come together and it's going to showcase. And, you know, for the sake of my fantasy football team, because Dak is my quarterback, I want to see the Cowboys do well.
I hear you. I want to see the Cowboys do well, too. And I think that they end up winning this game. But I've got a sneaky suspicion that the Washington football team will probably cover the number. And since I'm taking it there with the underdogs, I feel like this would be the perfect time in our show, given that it is a Football Friday, to go on the plus side. And for those of you that don't know how we do this on Canty and Golic Jr., we're taking all underdogs. We're going to run through the NFL slate in Week 14 and pick the underdogs that we think could potentially have a chance in that matchup that they have or not. So we'll get a kick to Devin the Dude, Devin Kane, our producer, and we'll see where we go with that. So, Dev, what you got on deck for us starting off? Yeah, I'm taking the Washington football team plus the 4.5 points. Now, let me be clear. I fully expect the Dallas Cowboys to win this game, but I think it will be closer than the experts think. This is a Washington football team that's confident. They believe in Taylor Heineke. More importantly, they believe in their head coach, Ron Rivera, and his formula for success. And I think they've changed some things since their bye week in the first half of the season and what they were doing as opposed to what they're doing now. prior to their bye week, they were almost an exclusively man coverage defense. Like, they played man coverage at a really high rate. Now, they flip that and they play zone as much as anybody in the National Football League. The only time they sprinkle in man coverage is on third down, and that's every now and again. And so I think that that little wrinkle is going to play to their strengths in terms of what that defense has to do to keep all of those explosive players from the Cowboys in front of them. So that's why I think this is going to be a little bit closer than what people think. Ron Rivera is going to muddy this game up. It ends up being closer, which is why I'm taking the football team in the 4.5 points.
There's not much I could add to that other than the fact that this is a divisional game. These are two opponents that know each other, so that typically warrants a closer game. And then you look at the style of play that Washington has. It's a rugged. We mentioned the time of possession, those type of things. That always warrants a closer game. So I will take the points. I think Dallas does win, but I'll take the Redskins. I did it. Sorry about that. Washington and the points.
We still adjusted to that, TD. Deb, what you got up for us next?
I normally am not one to go with 10, like double score spreads, but I'm going with the Chargers, man. I would definitely take the Chargers. I'm not taking the Giants. I don't trust everything that they have going on, right? Kenny Galladay is not playing to the level that they had expected. Saquon Barkley is underachieving, and, man, the quarterback situation is just that, the quarterback situation. So I will absolutely take the Chargers here. I think they cover. The total was 43, so that's kind of interesting, but I still think that the Chargers, they pull.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, TD. I can't go with the underdog New York Giants in this matchup as much as I want to. And I got blood in the ground at MetLife Stadium. Like, I root for the Giants, but this season has been a disaster. And you mentioned it, the quarterback situation right now is a disaster. Not knowing what's going on with Daniel Jones, his status being up in the air, Mike Glennon in concussion protocol, and then Jake Fromm. I almost said it just now, but I feel like I'd be better off with Jake from State Farm. I trust him more than I would Jake Fromm in this matchup. And, Dev, I asked you before the show if you did a two-play teaser and teased the Giants up to plus 17 and under on the total points, would you take it? And you told me no. You still wouldn't take it. So I think that just gives you a clearer picture of the state of affairs with the New York Football Giants. If you're getting 17 points and you still wouldn't take them, that just shows you how dire things are for that franchise. Exactly. Yeah, I will fair catch that 5.5 points, thank you very much. And I actually think the Jets win this game outright. That's right, I said it. The New Orleans Saints ain't won a game since they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was back in October. So, yeah, I don't expect that they're going to come into MetLife Stadium and get a win this weekend. It ain't going to happen. People talk about the questions that they have about Zach Wilson, the Jets quarterback. Well, I mean, if you question what the Jets quarterback is doing, what the hell are you doing about the Saints quarterback situation? How many questions do you have about that? So, yeah, I'm picking the Jets to upset the Saints. They're going to win that game outright, and thank you very much for the 5.5 points.
This game, to me, is going to be like a 7-0 type of thing. I got the Saints covering. And remember, this is the Demario Davis revenge game. A few years ago, the Jets decided somehow to move on from him, and he's developed into one of the most underrated players in the league. But the other thing that you have to look at are the injuries. Corey Davis is out. We'll see what happens with Zach Wilson. But guess what? Elijah Moore is not playing either. How are they going to score points? I don't know. Because Denzel Mims is still, you know, they have to, you know, give him a can of peanuts and have him leave a trail to get to the end zone because he can't score. I don't know what they're going to do. I can't see the Jets getting any points whatsoever. So give me the Saints and those points.
All right, Dev, what we got?
Okay. I'm going with the Raiders and the points. I would definitely take that. I like the explosiveness that DeSean Jackson brings to the table, and Darren Waller, you know, in the mix as well. So I'm going to go with the Raiders. I just don't know that you could fully trust the Chiefs week in and week out, especially with a 9.5-point spread.
Listen, desperation is a hell of a thing, so I'm going to take the Raiders, too. This is a team that always plays the Kansas City Chiefs tough, and that Chiefs offense is like that character in the movie Life Can't Get Right. He just ain't getting right, boss. He just can't do it. That's Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. They got the pieces, but it ain't clicked over. It's that Jerry curl that don't really curl. That is the Kansas City Chiefs offense, so I'll take the 9.5 points, although I do think the Chiefs end up winning the game. Either way, we know that that game is going to be one hot ticket. And Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards and every purchase. Vivid Seats rewards in your ticket or more tickets. Visit Vivid Seats. Life happens here. Try to get through that read one more time. But here's the thing. Coming up, we got a level of desperation for the Buffalo Bills. We got to gauge it. Going down to Tampa, it's Canty and Golic Jr. with Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Rocking with Teron Davenport, Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet passenger is injured in a car accident, get help paying for vet expenses. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Get a quote at progressive.com. We're going to get to the level of desperation the Buffalo Bills should have. But right now, we're going to go back out to the Dr. Pepper caller line, and we're going to take Dan in California. Dan, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What's up?
Hey. Thanks for having me on. I would just like to point out we need to stop hating on the Steelers and start talking about what they're doing good. Their offense is young. Aside from Trey Turner and Ben Roethlisberger, there's nobody that's more than four seasons in, and you have rookies at all the most critical spots aside from quarterback, center, left tackle, running back, and tight end. And our defense is depleted. We're down to third-string D linemen, second and third middle, second and third on the back end. So just – I think it's a testament to how well they're actually doing. Chase Claypool needs to clean his stuff up. 2-3 side notes. Watch out for Washington. Bills are soft. Ain't going to make the playoffs. And New England is back to being the most hated team in the NFL. Thanks for having me.
Dan, I love your level of optimism. And I got to tell you, I want my agent to have your mentality when it comes contract time, because you want to point out all of the great things about me, even if I'm not necessarily doing the best job. I love that attitude. But we got to face facts when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, TD. Like, this is not a good football team. They can't run the ball, even though Najee Harris did have 100 yards rushing. That was the first time they had over 100 yards rushing as a team in the last four games. So they can't run the ball with any consistency. They can't protect the quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger has been sacked 35 times, which puts him third in the National Football League behind Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, that's a problem. And then you start talking about the inconsistency with being able to stop the run. This is not a good football team. This is not a physically tough football team. I don't think it's a mentally tough football team. And on top of that, they're undisciplined, as we saw last night with the penalties, 10 for 85 yards. So you can try to paint this thing as a glass half full with the Steelers, and maybe you do have a lot of young players on your roster. But in terms of the culture, there are some things that they've got to get figured out in that locker room, because there's a lack of veteran leadership. And you wouldn't think that would be the case when you have a quarterback that's in his, 18th season, and that's in his late 30s. But that's apparently the case right now with Ben Roethlisberger, and it doesn't make me feel good, him saying what he said post-game yesterday.
Look, man, Jody Watley, she had a song called What Have You Done For Me Lately, and after watching what the Steelers did, I'm putting all optimism. There is absolutely a glass-half-empty outlook on that franchise, and they better get it together before it gets even worse. And it's crazy to me that some of these journalists are writing about Mike Tomlin needing to move on. I don't think it's that case. I think they do have to reset the quarterback situation. But this year, man, flush it down the toilet, make the changes that you have to make during the offseason, and come back and play the way the Steelers typically do.
Yeah, for the Steelers right now, after losing that game, it's not about being able to make a playoff push. It's about being able to preserve Mike Tomlin's record and never having a season below 500. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's all about. Beyond that, I don't think you can have any other expectations on this club, given the way that they've played of late. But a club that does have expectations, the Buffalo Bills. And TD, we mentioned it earlier on the show, but they got their teeth kicked in by the division rival, the New England Patriots. Just a year ago, this is the same Buffalo Bills team that swept the Patriots in their season series, and then I think they found out that they're not who they thought they was in that game on Monday night, and that's why you saw Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde get a little spicy with reporters in the post-game press conference. But now they've got a big matchup down in Tampa against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I got to say this, Brady's record against the Bills speaks for itself, 32-3 career. Usually when the Buffalo Bills lose to the New England Patriots, they don't have to worry about facing off against Tom Brady the very next week. But unfortunately, that's not the case because Brady's now a Buck. But in this matchup, how do you see this one going, and exactly how desperate should the Buffalo Bills be, knowing that you've got a lot of other teams in the conference that are clipping at their heels for that playoff spot?
Yeah, I think this game is a really, really good litmus test for where this Bills team is, not just from their play statistically, et cetera. I think it's just from – it's a gut check, right? You got your teeth kicked in by the Colts, right? You came back and beat the Saints, and then the Patriots, like you said, they stole the lunch money, man. And I think this game is one where they have to come out as desperate as possible. You look at the way things match up. That Bucs defense is really good, especially against the run. Well, the Bills don't run the football.
Mm.
Josh Allen likes to throw that thing around. You got Stephon Diggs, a route craftsman. I like the matchup of that passing game. And speaking of route craftsmen, you got Manuel Sanders on the other side. You got Dawson Knox as well. I like that passing game against the Bucs. And I think this is a case of strength versus weakness. And the Bills, they should be able to score points. But I just wonder about the defense, you know, and there's a lot to be desired just as far as the cornerback position is concerned. Those safeties, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, one thing that they do really well is they don't allow passes to go over their head, right? They keep everything. They play top down, and everything's in front of them. So I think it's going to be interesting just watching that Tom Brady, you know, his willingness to push the ball down the field to Mike Evans. I want to see how that matches up against those safeties who like to stay deep. And then that being said, as you stretch the field and those guys bailing out the way that they do, that middle of the field, which is where Gronk likes to operate, Chris Godwin as well, that's going to be a good opportunity to work there because of just the desperation of not allowing the deep passes to happen.
No, I'm with you on that one. And one absence that could potentially loom large in this matchup, Trey White, Tre'Davious White, the all-pro corner for the Buffalo Bills, got injured in that Saints game a couple of weeks ago. ACL, he's gone for the season. That could present an opportunity for some mismatches against those Bucs receivers. But we'll have more on that game a little bit later on in the show. Coming up next, we'll have to figure out why the Dallas Cowboys haven't been able to run away with the NFC East. But first, let's get a word from AT&T. If there are friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry. It's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to get at us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at @TDavenport_NFL, at ChrisCanty99. We want to hear from you guys. Tune in to a historic college football rivalry tomorrow as Army takes on Navy in MetLife Stadium. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on the XM app, free for most SiriusXM subscribers. Now, I know we got to get to the conversation, TD, about the war of words between Mike McCarthy and Ron Rivera, seeing as how the Dallas Cowboys are matching up against the Washington football team. But we're going to go back out to the Dr. Pepper call-in line to bring on Luke from Minnesota. He's got something to say about the Minnesota Vikings. Luke, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What you got for us?
Yo, thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks for absolutely. Calling, Luke. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. I'm just doing homework here. I listen to you guys every day when I get home from school.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So you want to chime in about the Vikings. What did you think about last night's game?
Oh, yeah. I listened to that Steelers fan who was on a bit ago, and I really could care less who was out. We got a win, and I am stoked because I thought we were going to win by, like, a blowout, and I was so disappointed when they came back. That was so bad. I was like, really, you got within a touchdown. Come on. Our defense was non-existent.
Yeah, Luke, that was touch and go for a minute there at the end of that game, and it came down to Harrison Smith making a big-time play, punching that ball out from Pat Freiermuth's hands. I mean, TD, I mean, that was a perfect throw from Ben Roethlisberger. That was a dime. It doesn't get more clutch than that. But Harrison Smith was making plays all over the field last night, and none bigger than that play being able to make that stop on the last play of the game to preserve the win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's getting older, but he showed that he could still make plays. And it's funny, just the relief that he had after that game, you could tell that it was an emotional roller coaster for him. And it was a game that they were definitely happy that they pulled out. But at the same time, I know they're disappointed with that second half effort.
No question about it. But they're so used to being on the losing end of those close games. So I'm happy that the Minnesota Vikings, I'm happy for Mike Zimmer that he was able to find himself on the winning side for once. But speaking of head coaches, we got to talk about two head coaches in the NFC East that have been going back and forth through the media with a war of words. And we got to start with what Mike McCarthy said earlier this week when he talked about his team's prospects and trying to take on the Washington football team. Here's Mike McCarthy.
We got to do whatever we got to do to win the game. But these guys are very accountable. The work ethic of our football team, the whole space is very high. They're very accountable. We know what people think of us. We love that. We're comfortable who we are, where we are. But I'm excited about what's in front of us because, you know, we're going to win this game. I'm confident in that.
Now, TD, it didn't sound like he was putting too much on it when he was saying that he was going to win this game, but I feel like it's kind of taken on a life of its own and it's grown into this guarantee that we're going to win this game. But one of my things is, I guess I've always felt like I want my head coach to believe that we're going to win the game. I don't necessarily need my head coach going to the media and actually saying it because it does provide bulletin board material for the opposing team. And say what you will, whether or not it's going to impact the effort level from the team that you're going to face off against, they wouldn't have a term called bulletin board material if players didn't take that kind of stuff to heart. So believe me, as somebody that played over a decade in the National Football League, guys feel a way when people from the team that you're about to play start popping off, especially when it comes down to a coach. Because outside of the X's and O's, he ain't got nothing to say about the game. It's all about the guys in between the white lines.
One of the things I always love about getting to interact with you guys that played in the league is your ability to always find just extra motivation. So you're 100% right. That bulletin board material is something that's definitely there. But here's the thing. It could be bulletin board material for the Cowboys as well, right? Because you have your coach talking this stuff, right? You want to make sure that you go out and you back up what he's saying. You want to get that win. And I think it can up the sense of urgency, so to speak, for the Cowboys. And that seems to be why he said that, right? You know, we're going to do everything we can to win. Well, one of the things that I think he wants to do to win is to light a fire under his team and write a check that he believes they'll cash.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. And if you look at the Dallas Cowboys the last 3 years, when it comes to their winning percentage in comparison to all the other current division leaders, the Cowboys are dead last. And so Mike McCarthy, seeing as how his team has lost three of their last six games, maybe he felt like he needed to create that level of urgency with the guys in his locker room. You know that he was away from the team the last 10 days because of COVID. And so maybe when he's taking this macro view and, you know, judging the state of affairs with his team, maybe he felt like this could potentially be a catalyst for his guys to get going in the month of December, knowing that they have critical division games down the stretch. I can't get inside his head, but I got to think that was a part of his logic, knowing that this team has kind of been up and down over the course of the last month and a half. So maybe that's where he's coming from. But we also got the response from Ron Rivera to Mike McCarthy's guarantee. And this is what the Washington football team's head coach had to say on that guarantee. You do that for a couple of reasons. You want to get in our head. Secondly, he's trying to convince his team. He's now made it about him, and I think that's a big mistake. Now, that sounds like tough talk from Ron Rivera, and so as somebody that really doesn't have a dog in the fight, I can't wait to watch this play out on Sunday because these two teams are going to go at it, and Ron Rivera is a man of few words. I know him personally, but when he says something like that and he says it's a big mistake, like, it feels like the Washington football team is going to put a little bit more on this one, as if it didn't already have enough.
It's a big-time divisional game that just got even hotter. I can't wait to watch it as well. And I think, you know, it got a little personal here, right? Because, you know, when you say that a coach has to convince his team that they could win, like, that's – you're questioning that organization. So it's definitely personal. I like when the games get, like, personal like that because – You know, I like it to be a lot of back and forth, you know, physical play and just the emotions that come with the game. It's already an emotional sport.
TD, speaking of back and forth, we got this from Mike McCarthy on Ron Rivera's comments today. Oh. It's irrelevant what anybody thinks about what I said. I was talking about my team. I always coach my own team. That's where I'm at with it. We have great confidence in what we're trying to do. It was honest answer to a question from a great group of people. So these two are clearly going back and forth about it, and I can't wait. You know the moment I can't wait for, TD? After the game is over with, the handshake between the two head coaches. That's the part that I'm waiting to see, because right now I feel like that could devolve into an Oklahoma drill just based on what we're hearing in the media in the lead up to this game. I'm just saying. Coming up next, what is your level of confidence in the NFC divisional leaders? Teron Davenport and I will let you know. It's Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr., Teron Davenport filling in for Mike Golic Jr. It's Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And TD, we went through the AFC divisional leaders and our confidence level of them being able to hold on to those pole positions in those respective divisions as we get closer to the playoffs. And so I feel like on a Football Friday, we got to do the same thing for the NFC. So just to set the table for everybody, for all of our listeners out there and for the conversation, let's run through the standings for the respective NFC divisions. So, right now in the NFC East, it's the Dallas Cowboys as the front runner with an 8-4 record. Moving along to the NFC North, we got the Green Bay Packers checking in at 9-3. Division leader in the NFC South, who else? Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're at 9-3. And then, of course, the surprise in all of this, the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals at 10-2. The Arizona Cardinals, the NFL's first double-digit win team. And so, TD, I want to start right there. For you, is it the Cardinals as the team you have the most confidence in to stay in that position as we get closer to the playoffs? And if not, who you got?
No, it's actually not the Cardinals. And I think just with a team like the Rams nipping at their heels, I think that's a race there. When you look at the two divisions there with the North and then also – the team that I think, you look at the South, the Bucs are the ones, right?
Okay.
And they're 4-0 at home. And you look, they have three remaining home games. Tom Brady, how can you go against him? And this is a team that's been there and done that. I'm going with the Bucs. And their schedule, along with those three home games that they have, it's a relatively easy schedule. So I that's what gives me the difference between the Packers and the Buccaneers. I have the most confidence in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the schedule. I mean, after they get past the Buffalo Bills, the Tampa Bay Bucs are at home against the New Orleans Saints, on the road against the Carolina Panthers, on the road against the New York Jets, and then back home for the Carolina Panthers. So like you said, that's soft. S-O-F, capital T, soft. But if I'm comparing the two teams, the Buccaneers and the Packers, I would probably say that the Packers are playing better football right now. I did not expect that that Green Bay's defense would be as good as it is with the emergence of Rashawn Gary being a consistent pass rush threat, them getting healthier on that side of the ball. Really impressive to see their defense. I want to say they're top 10 in both yards and points. So that defense is a monster. And then offensively, you know they got that bad man in Aaron Rodgers. Only concern for the Green Bay Packers is that offensive line. I feel like when we're comparing the Bucs and the Packers, both of them have units that would give us a lot of concern. The offensive line for the Packers and the defensive secondary for the Tampa Bay Bucs. But I digress. Okay, so now that we've got that out the way, who's the team, who's the division leader right now that you have the most concern about, who you don't have confidence in that can hang on to their spot as number one in their division?
Hey, man, it's Dallas. Ooh. That's the team that I have the most concern about.
Not America's team. Not America's team.
Sorry, America, but it is what it is. If the truth hurts, you will be in pain. And that's the way I look at it right now. And you look at the schedules, you know, there's this game coming up. It's a huge game for Washington and for Dallas. So I just think Dallas still has to put it back together. Like, they started off really, really hot. I want to see Dak Prescott get back to that guy that we talked about earlier, being able to break the pocket and make plays that way and make it even harder for defenses to go against them. But, you know, Washington, they have like that it, right? They're doing things to win football games that in some cases they really have no business winning. And I think this is going to be a one that goes down the stretch. And I believe they play each other in the final game of the season.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, listen, the Dallas Cowboys' remaining schedule, they've got the Washington football team in D.C. this weekend. Then they're on the road against the New York football Giants. They've got Washington again at home, followed up with Arizona at home, and then ending with the Philadelphia Eagles in the link. So, listen, I get it. It's a lot of divisional games, and the NFC East has been mediocre at best. But these are still going to be closely contested games. And the one thing that concerns me about the Dallas Cowboys, and I know I'm at the risk of sounding like that old man that's going to say, get off my lawn, but they've got to find a way to be able to run the football when it matters. Like, it showed up in that game against the New Orleans Saints. They had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and they could not slam the door, no matter how many times Taysom Hill threw them the ball. They have got to be able to find a way to run the football when the opposing defense knows they're going to run the ball. They've got to be able to do that because they need to shorten the game. They need to limit opportunities for opposing offenses to get back into games. When they're at their best offensively, the Dallas Cowboys are a balanced offense. We haven't seen a lot of that balance over the course of the last six games, and I think their record reflects that because they've played 500 ball. So that's the thing that the Dallas Cowboys have got to improve on, and it better start this weekend against the Washington football team. Because we've talked about how they control time of possession. Over the last 4 weeks, the football team has averaged 37.5 minutes of ball control. The best defense for the Washington football team is keeping that Cowboys offense off the field. So when the Cowboys get the ball, they got to be able to find a way to sustain drives. But coming up next, how much of the Steelers' lack of discipline is on Mike T? TD and I will break that down for you. Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.